Welcome everyone to Dallas Hoops Fancast, a podcast for Mavs fans. I'm your host, Sydney. I'm here with my co-host, Martin.
Hey guys.
You can follow the show on Twitter at Dallas Hoopscast. You can also follow me on Twitter at underscore Sydney Myers. Marty isn't on Twitter because he's too cool for that, I guess. Today is Friday. We usually do our shows every Sunday. I feel like we haven't actually done a show on Sunday just because
we're just kind of doing
them
now.
Yeah. Well, there's so much happening and we have the day off work anyways. And we really wanted to talk about the Danny Green situation because there's a lot of stuff. By the way, if this is your first time listening, thank you. Consider subscribing to or following the show. The support lately has been awesome. I know I've said this like in the past every single episode, but it really is awesome. We're breaking show records with like pretty much every single upload. So thank you for that. Again, you can message us on Twitter, DMs are open, or subscribe on YouTube so you can share your comments there. But again, guys, thank you so much for the support. So getting right into it, Danny Green. There's been a lot, and we still don't really know what's happening or what's going to happen, but he was on, he recorded a new episode of his podcast. He has a podcast with, what is that guy's, Harrison Sanford, and they've been doing it for a while, but obviously everyone is listening more now because of what's going on. The podcast is called Inside the Green Room. So I'm going to go through some important notes from that show, and we'll kind of discuss to try to like distill it and see, like try to read the tea leaves and see what's going on with it. So first of all, in terms of where he's going, what Kawhi is doing, Danny Green said it's a waiting game right now. He's trying to be patient. He did say that a lot weighs on Kawhi's decision and he doesn't know what Kawhi is going to do. He said, I'm still trying to figure out what he's thinking. So he actually hasn't been in contact directly with Kawhi. He said he's kind of giving him his space. So, like, Danny Green doesn't even know what Kawhi is going to do, which is interesting because I feel like Danny Green's decision is hinging on Kawhi and even he, like, doesn't know. He did say that, you know, the teams that are interested have been giving him some time. He really appreciates that. By the way, just officially, the teams that are interested are the Mavs, Lakers, Clippers, and Raptors, obviously. We don't know what they offered. Tim McMahon said the Mavs offer was, what was it, 3 years, 36?
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that was like official, he got that from the team, or if that was
speculation.
I'm not sure, but that's lower.
It seems low to me.
It's lower than what we thought it would be, especially since Harrison, Danny Green's podcast host, described the Mavs offer as tantalizing.
Yeah, and 3 year 36 mil.
That's not tantalizing.
Unless we overvalue Danny Green more than
maybe,
the league does.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seemed, I mean, Dwight Powell basically got that contract.
Yeah, and he got his three years, 33.
With all due respect to Powell, Green is like one of the best role players ever.
Yeah.
I know he's a role player, but you need to have really good ones to win. And
as you can
he
see,
has won multiple championships. So
yeah, playing that specific
role.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he knows that role.
Yeah.
He himself has recognized he's not a star player. He has said that, and he wants to be the best role player ever.
Yeah. And he is one of the best role players. He's the best 3-and-D guy
in the league right now. Yeah,
outside of Kawhi.
But just 3-and-D, that particular role, it goes Danny Green and then Wes Matthews. So there's a huge gap there.
Martin, you're such a jokester.
Okay.
Okay. So he talked a little bit about that, but then they got into how long it's taking for Kawhi to make his decision. And he said, Harrison asked him, you know, a lot of people are worried you might end up on the short end of the stick. Has that worried you? And Danny Green said, yes. If I miss out on an opportunity, that would suck. So he's hoping that he makes his decision soon. He said, we'll see how much longer these teams will wait. I don't think longer than a day or two. Mm-hmm. And then later on in the podcast, he said, eventually teams are going to want some pieces and fill up their roster and get the guys that they need, and they're not going to wait out any longer. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of worried about how long it's taking Kawhi. Now, I don't know if any team, well, I guess we'll get into that later, if the Mavs should move on, like if the Mavs should stop waiting. But for now, he said that he is kind of worried that teams are going to move on. So as the interview went on, he talked more about the Mavericks specifically and what he likes about the Mavericks. And it's kind of the same things that we've heard in other interviews that Harrison has done. Danny Green said, "I've known Mark Cuban and Rick Carlisle for a long time. They have a really good interest in me and they're showing it. They're coming in pretty strong." He said, "They have a good team, a good foundation. I could be another good piece of that puzzle." And then he talked about Luka and Porzingis. He said they have a healthy KP in Luka. He called Luka an upcoming star. And they have a lot of other good pieces surrounding them. So he talked, you know, again about the organization, the team, which we've heard. I like the way that he can see the potential of Luka and Porzingis, because I know not everybody can. So that was nice to see. And then he went into the future of the team. He said, "I think we could turn it around and maybe make it a playoff team. I like what they're offering. Mark Cuban is putting pressure on me to make a decision soon," which
obviously
makes sense. Yeah. But he said Dallas has a really good chance of turning it around and being a contender with just a couple years to come.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that part of it is enticing to him, that he can be a part of that, especially as a veteran leader. In our last episode, we talked about how he kind of relishes that role. And I think that's enticing, plus the contract apparently is enticing for him. But I imagine he's probably torn, because you also have the Lakers, where you're almost guaranteed a ring. Or if Kawhi goes back to Toronto, then you're almost guaranteed a ring there.
Well, maybe not guaranteed a ring, but you are contenders.
You're in contention. Yeah.
And even if he goes to the Clippers, a lot of people think, because they won 48 games last year, but they don't really have a lot of star power. So,
but that's what's so amazing about it, is that they won so many games.
Well, if they got Kawhi, obviously, and Danny Green, then they would be a much better team than the Mavericks.
Yeah.
I mean, in my opinion, it seems tantalizing only right now, because he doesn't know where Kawhi's going.
Yeah.
I think as soon as Kawhi says, "Hey, I'm going back to Toronto," boom, let's do it. Let's go back.
That looks tantalizing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Now, the Mavericks offer isn't as tantalizing. I think it's just... Yeah. It's just there because he doesn't know the other piece of it. He doesn't know where Kawhi's going to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, it appears like he's going to go where Kawhi goes, whether it's the Clippers, Lakers, or Toronto. So at this point, he's only waiting to find out what destination that's going to be. Well, so Kevin Heelan at Basketball Talk at NBC just tweeted, "Danny Green, the three teams that are actually interested in him are the Lakers, Clippers, and the Mavericks. No mention of Toronto."
Interesting.
So if he goes back to Toronto and they don't want to actually pay him, then maybe that doesn't matter that much if he goes back to Toronto.
But it's not automatic for the Mavs either, because you still have the Lakers and Clippers.
So. Yeah. So
he said in this interview, he said his top three priorities are which team has the best fit, which team is able to provide the best contract, and which team has the best chance of contending or winning again.
Yeah, I think the first two, it's the Mavericks, because the best fit, it's not just the 3-and-D aspect, but it's also the leadership role that he would take. And his defense and shooting. And the Mavericks, the last two seasons, they have the most wide open shots. Or the stat is they have more shots where they have 3 feet of room in between or whatever. They lead the league in. They just don't have anybody that can make it.
Yeah.
And Green would fit right into that. And the fit would be perfect.
Plus his defense, plus veteran leadership.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think he fits anywhere. But in terms of like team need, and I think like that fits more in Dallas.
And then also the contract, apparently the Mavericks contract is the best. Because even he has mentioned the Mavericks contract. The contention piece, I mean, there still remains to be seen what else the Mavericks will take their time to do the rest of this free agency. So they will probably contend for the playoffs. I personally think whether they get Green or not, they're going to be in the playoff hunt next year. And then in a couple of years, they'll probably be actual contention for the championship.
Yeah. He talked about the three teams. Now he mentioned at the end of the podcast, he talked about the three teams that are interested in him. and why each one is an option, like why he's looking at each one. The three teams he mentioned were Mavericks, Lakers, and Toronto. Mm-hmm. So he did mention Toronto.
Yeah,
I assume maybe, he would know.
Yeah. So maybe that Kevin Helan guy didn't really understand. But if he mentions Toronto,
then yeah,
you know. But so, Toronto, did he mention Toronto was interested in him, or that's just where
Toronto? Okay. Yeah. So here's the reasons he gave for each one. In Texas, well, the Mavericks are in Texas, and he likes Texas. He said it's a good organization with Mark Cuban. They have two rising stars that are really good. He said, I could be a piece to help them grow and mature and understand how to win. For the Lakers, he said, obviously, they have two superstars and other good pieces. They added Jared Dudley. And he said, when you have those two guys, obviously, when you have the other two superstars, the sky is the limit. And I can, you know, agree mm-hmm. with that. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, but you know it's going to be something good. And then for Toronto, he said, it's a place I call home now. He's grown a love for the fans and the organization. They would, if Kawhi went there, they would have the opportunity to try to repeat. That, I think, again, I can understand that too. So really, there's no wrong decision here. I think wherever he went, it would be a good situation for him.
Yeah, and it sucks for the Mavs because
they don't have a clear advantage right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they don't. And
because apparently the deal, as much as he likes it, is not a clear advantage.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's got to say something.
You're talking about LeBron and Anthony Davis or Luka and Porzingis. And with all due respect to Luka and Porzingis, you know,
they haven't done it yet.
Yeah, exactly. And LeBron is 35, he's going to be 36 next year. So I don't know if that plays a role. And then Toronto, obviously, if he calls it home and they have a chance to repeat, it's not looking good for the Mavs, in my opinion. I know it's a tantalizing offer and it's on his mind, but I personally don't know if it were that much of a situation where he couldn't decide, then waiting on Kawhi wouldn't be
So going along with that, a lot of people are starting to think that Danny Green is just using the Mavs as leverage, that he doesn't actually want to come here. He's mm-hmm. just using them to try to get the other teams to jack up their price. And I kind of tend to agree with that. And here's why. So Danny Green is waiting for Kawhi. Obviously, we know that now. We thought for a little bit that he wasn't going to wait, but we know now that he's going to wait for Kawhi. So why would he do that? Well, the only logical reason that comes to mind is that he's going to sign wherever Kawhi signs. I mean, why else would he be waiting for Kawhi? So mm-hmm. he's going to sign wherever Kawhi signs. Well, Kawhi isn't coming to Dallas.
Exactly.
So if Danny Green is going to sign wherever Kawhi signs, then it's not Dallas.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter if he decides to go back to Toronto. Obviously, Danny Green's going back. But if Kawhi goes to the Lakers, well, then he's just going to go to the Lakers.
Yeah.
And then if it's already tempting now with LeBron
and Anthony Davis, if Kawhi is there. Yeah.
And then if he goes to the Clippers, maybe that's not as tantalizing, but still, Kawhi's there. Yeah, so I think I'm on the same level of that is just using the Mavericks have leverage, and it's not really fair to him, because even if he's not, the problem is if he doesn't decide to come here, that's what he did. Whether that's what he did or not, that's what's on people's minds.
So okay, there's one other possibility for why he would be waiting on Kawhi, and that would be, again, the same thing, to get other teams to jack their price up. Because let's say Kawhi returns to the Raptors. Well, then the other two teams outside of, well, maybe even including Dallas, but the Lakers and the Clippers might get desperate and drive their price up.
And the Lakers are stupid enough to give him $30 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, because we
just
know,
to get him there.
Like, we know that the Mavs have already made the best offer. So if the goal is to get more money, then just sign with the Mavericks. And maybe he will, but remember, the fact that he's waiting probably means that he's going wherever Kawhi goes. So it's either where Kawhi goes or get teams to drive up their price. The Mavs are already the highest, so they can't drive up their price. The only teams that could drive up their price would be the Lakers or Clippers, aka not the Mavs.
Yeah, I think that if he goes to Toronto, and let's say Toronto is really not interested. I don't know what they're going to do. But your real threat then is the Lakers, because they already have Anthony Davis and LeBron. And let's say they offer the same contract, 3-year, $36 million plus LeBron and Anthony Davis. Is the Mavericks offer that tantalizing anymore?
Yeah.
So, and they easily could do that. So,
do they have the space for that?
They have, if Kawhi doesn't go there, they have $33 million or whatever in cap room space. And I think they would give 12 to Danny Green. That's really not
that much.
Because
he's still a good fit. Yeah. So either way, it's not good for the Mavs. Mm-hmm. Like if you know, I want to believe that Danny Green is going to come here. But if I take my emotions out of it and just look at it logically, there's only two reasons Danny Green would be waiting for Kawhi, and neither one of them equals the Mavericks. Yeah. If it's either to go where Kawhi goes or to get teams to drive up their price, the Mavs have the highest price. I mean, either way, it leaves out the Mavs.
At this point, I would be surprised if he came to Dallas.
Yeah.
And so what do you do? If you're Dallas.
So, I mean, left with that logical conclusion, the Mavs should move on from Danny Green. And, like, I don't want to say that. You know, I want Danny Green. I would rather be wrong. Like, I would rather say this and be wrong and people shred us on Twitter and in the comments and be like, see, he's signed with the Mavs. You don't know what you're talking about. Like,
don't know what we're talking about. This is all speculation.
Yeah, like, I would rather that happen. But just remembering or thinking about the logic that we just talked about, it makes sense to move on from Danny Green. And an option that I think is on the table right now is to trade for Andre Iguodala, because he's available. And, you know, the good news is that you could actually trade for Iguodala and still get Danny Green. Yeah. Like, so if they traded, for example, Courtney Lee, the contracts would just about match. They would lose a little bit of cap space.
$5 million. Yeah, but again,
it's still enough. Yeah. It's still enough to get Danny Green. I mean, I think you go after Iguodala. If you only get Iguodala, then at least you got something. But if you get Iguodala and Danny Green, then that's even better. But really, I think the plan would be moving on from Danny Green and just doing what you can.
Yeah, if I personally, I would give one final offer. I'd bump it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I would say what I originally thought the offer was, and what I think it should be, is four years, $60 million.
Yeah.
It gives them that extra year and a couple extra million a year. It's only $15 million, so that's not that egregious. It's not unmovable if things don't work out the way you want them to. And I would give them a couple hours.
Yeah.
And I say, look, you know, we want you here, but we can't risk losing out on everything else. Here's our final offer. We'll give you a couple hours to think it over. Let us know. If not, we're going to move on.
So I like that, except there is one problem. I think Danny Green is still in a position. I think he is still in a position of leverage.
Well, he is. Yeah. And I'm not saying
so
that
I
he's not.
So I don't think the Mavs are in a position to
hey, you need to decide or we're going to jump out. It's not
like they don't really have a better option.
It's not that. That's not what you're saying here. What you're saying is like, look, we really want you, but we can't risk it.
Yeah.
So we understand that you want to wait and all that, but if it doesn't work out well for us, then we're going to be left with nothing. And so we just can't make that risk right now. So here's our offer. Go ahead and think about it. Let us know. And then we'll go from there. And whether he comes or not, that's fine. It's not a leverage pull here, because Danny Green holds all the cards.
Yeah.
But it's more of just we got to fill the roster up with other talent.
I think so. My idea of like moving on from Danny Green is a little more conservative. So you continue to, you make roster moves if they are available and will make your team better. And if something that's a no-brainer comes up, you do it, even if it means missing out on Danny Green. But I think because there's no like remarkable talent available, you can still hold that little pocket of cash while making other good moves. Like, for example, trading for Iguodala. If they, for some reason, like Jermichael Green or whatever, like these are moves that you can make that you should make, But you'll still have some left over yeah. for Green if you want to.
I think the Iguodala trade can happen regardless of what yeah. Green decides.
Even so if they get Green, they can still do it then.
The fact that it hasn't happened probably has nothing to do with Green. It may be, you know, one of the reasons why Memphis doesn't want to waive him is because they don't want him to just sign with the Lakers.
Yeah.
So obviously they don't want to make the teams in their own conference better.
Or maybe it's just the Lakers.
Maybe. But so trading him to Houston or Dallas, you might as well just waive them if you don't really care. Now, Dallas would be a little bit different because nobody really believes they're going to be that good.
And they're not good. Not that the Lakers are their rivals. The Lakers are everybody's rivals. Yeah.
So they would probably rather trade him to the East.
Yeah.
So that way they don't have to worry about it. And they could just be taking their time because they know a lot of teams other than Dallas and Houston who have been reported. I'm sure there's other teams that would be interested. Yeah. And yeah. having Andre Iguodala. So there's no point in rushing that. So I don't think they're related. I don't think the Mavericks are holding off to wait for Green because I think yeah. they can afford him regardless. But if there's another option out there, like a plan ZZ that, you know, the Mavs missed out on all the other ones, I think you can't afford to wait any longer. And you just go for it. Whatever that is, I don't know.
Yeah. So, okay. And I'm going to do this, even though I just said that they should move on from Danny Green, but just to play the devil's advocate, let's say there's like a 1% chance that they could get him.
No.
Is it worth it? Like, say, all right, you take up your cap space with Jermichael Green and Goran Dragic. Mm-hmm. You know, was it worth it to move on from Danny Green to get those guys? I mean, those guys aren't really difference makers.
And either, I mean, Green... No disrespect. Green is a great player, but he's not a star.
Yeah.
So a 1% chance, like it'd be different if LeBron named yeah. seven teams.
Or Kawhi.
Or Kawhi. And
I still
you were,
think Kawhi is coming to Dallas.
Yeah.
FYI.
I don't want Kawhi here because then that takes away from Luka.
True. Yeah.
And Porzingis. So 1% chance, that to me is not a real chance. It's just not.
Yeah.
Like, so
what do you think the chances are right now?
I think it's 10%.
I was going to say like 20.
Yeah, it's low.
15%.
Yeah, it's low because you have some serious competition.
Yeah. Well, and again, if you just think about it logically, mm-hmm. there's only a few logical reasons for what's going on. It's not complicated. He's waiting on Kawhi. And, we know that.
And my thing is, if you're willing to wait this long, then why don't you just increase your offer?
Yeah, if he clearly, means this much
yes,
to you.
Clearly he means this much. So holding Pat, and maybe they have done that. We don't know. We're just speculating. We don't have sources close to the situation in Toronto. So we don't really know what they've done. But if on the Mavs, you might as well just increase the offer. Make it more difficult for him. You have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You know, but... Other than losing Danny Green, yeah. you have nothing else to lose. If he decides to come here, again, $15 million is just not, in today's league, that's just not that big of an issue. I mean, you're willing to give Dwight Powell $11 million.
It's $4 million more.
We get yeah. two Kapowls a game.
Kapowl!
And that's $11 million.
So I don't know. It's, you know, there's a part of me that's like, I really want Danny Green and I want to wait for him. And I think the Mavs are going to get him. But there's a part of me that's logical. And it's like, well, let me look at this situation and look at the facts. This is a conclusion I've come to. If that is true, I think they should move on.
Yeah, I really want him to. But you got to move on because you're going to be left with nothing. And yeah. maybe... Well, there was one reporter, Brad Townsend, said that he strongly believes if Danny Green doesn't come to Dallas, the Mavericks are going to stand pat with the roster they have. And obviously, that
it's
would
like,
be
really
incredibly disappointing.
Yeah. It's already disappointing that it appears that Danny Green was like their plan A. Because
well, their plan A was Kemba.
True, which they gave up on before free agency even started.
Because he already decided before he can actually meet.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you would just sit with Carlisle and let him show you how much better he can make you, don't listen to the media about the point guard whisperer they have over there in Boston. Because clearly he's the greatest coach for point guards ever. Because
hey,
one guy...
Kyrie was an all-star
before he got there. Okay, so the only guy that had a great year was Isaiah Thomas, but really Isaiah Thomas was good. Yeah. Now that was his first opportunity to be the guy, and yeah, he did a great job. They traded him in a heartbeat. So clearly, you know. Yeah. So anyways, but yeah, he wants to go to Boston. I'm doing Kyrie. I mean Kemba. I don't want to get stuck on that. I hope we have other plans in play.
I don't think they do. Unless it's Jermichael Green.
I know Cleveland wants to trade Tristan Thompson. I know that's not a big name.
I don't think the Mavs.
But it's 1 year, $18 million, and he fits well with the Mavericks system. He's a good defender. He's a much better rebounder than Capel. And he's a lob threat.
I think what they need more, like you said a few episodes ago, is a wing. A good wing that's a good defender. And I think unless you get that, anything else would kind of just be a marginal improvement.
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on how they're going to run their offense or their team. If Porzingis is going to be the five, then I think bringing in Marcus Morris, I mean, that's not going to cost a lot. And he shoots threes. I mean, he averaged 13 and 8 last year. That's way better than Capel. And he's a good three-point shooter, and he would play the four, and Porzingis play the five, if that's the direction that they want to go. And so Marcus Morris, like I said, it's not a splashy deal.
Yeah.
But he can come in and contribute. He's 40% from three.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to sign someone just for the sake of signing someone.
Well, again, with Thompson, though, it's low risk, high reward.
High reward, I guess, because
it's just 1 year.
Anyway, so that's the Danny Green situation. Obviously, from the interview, and you can go listen to that episode. Again, that podcast is called Inside the Green Room. It's their latest episode. You can go listen to it. But it sounds like he's torn, but ultimately he is waiting on Kawhi, which, as we went through, that doesn't sound like good news for the Mavericks. Nope. So we'll see what happens with that. Another thing I wanted to go into, Ramona Shelburne was on Adrian Wojnarowski's podcast. It's called Woj Pod. If you're not following or subscribed to it, you really should. It's because obviously it's Woj. Like, why would you not? But in their latest episode, Ramona Shelburne was on, and they were talking about a lot of different things. And Kristaps Porzingis came up, just talking about the situation with the Knicks and how things are just a crapshoot right now. But Woj mentioned a couple of interesting things about Porzingis. So when Porzingis first came into the league, actually before he was drafted, Woj sat down with him and had dinner. And he asked him, what are you looking forward to the most about playing in the NBA? And I thought Porzingis' answer was interesting. He said what he was most excited about was that he would have a key to the gym at all times. Anywhere they were, he would be able to get into the gym anytime he wanted and practice and play. Because in EuroLeague, in Europe, he couldn't really do that. He didn't always have access. And so he wanted to be in the gym all the time. And that, I love that. Because obviously, every superstar, every great player, like the one thing you hear about them is their work ethic. Like that's the one consistent. And so to hear that Porzingis has that kind of work ethic, like that's what he wants.
That's the first thing he thought
of. Yeah, not just that he does it because he knows he has to, but he was excited. Or he was looking forward to that about playing in the NBA. That I really liked hearing. And then he went on to, you know, talk about that and how Porzingis wanted a professional environment. And what he didn't like about the Knicks was that he would go to the gym, he would get there early in the morning, and nobody would be there. His stuff wouldn't, you know, the gear wouldn't be ready for him to practice.
No one's there to tape him up.
Yeah, the training staff wasn't there. His gear wasn't ready. He said the professionalism just wasn't there, and that frustrated him. And that's just even better to me because, again, it shows his work ethic. And I know with the Mavericks, like, that's not going to be a problem because I'm sure.
Well, they learned from Dirk.
Yeah.
Like that
you gotta
was,
be there all the time.
And Cuban, I think, recognizes that. Like we were talking, they probably have somebody on call.
Yeah.
I personally think they have a night shift trainer, basically. Like, you know, he's only there for the
if
night.
He wants to be there,
to tape a player up if they need to be taped up or to get whatever they need. And, you know, he doesn't get paid very much, but that's what he's there for players that if they just want to show up.
Yeah. And so that, you know, even though they weren't specifically talking about Porzingis as a player, I liked hearing those things. They talked more about his attitude and how people just didn't like the way that his attitude got kind of negative. And Wojnarowski said, you know, when he came in, he was so excited. He was just this perfect guy. And the team and the situation made him so cynical. He said you could see that change in him, that he just wasn't the same. All the drama with the owner, there was drama with Carmelo Anthony at the time, and that made him this kind of cynical guy.
Yeah. And he said that he kind of got stuck in the middle between Phil Jackson and Carmelo.
Yeah.
And the teammates that supported Carmelo, then there was teammates that wanted Porzingis to stand up to Carmelo, whatever that means.
Yeah, like, I don't why? Know. Yeah. Why can't we just play together? But that was at a time where Carmelo was, like, kind of still the man a little bit, but not compared to Porzingis. Porzingis was becoming the man.
And the crowd. Like, yeah, the New York fans, they would boo
Carmelo.
If it was a close game in the fourth quarter and the play was run for Carmelo, they were booing and they would cheer Porzingis because they wanted the ball in Porzingis' hands.
And then, you know, people would ask him about it, and Ramona Shelburne is like, what was he supposed to say? I mean, he's just this young kid. And she said it just got ugly. He got caught in the middle whenever he should have been the priority. Like, they should have been working to develop him and make everything about how they can make him better, because they drafted the unicorn. Like, that was their big chance, and they just really squandered it on drama and not taking care of what was going on with him emotionally.
Well, and they also didn't take care of the physical aspect. Like, the Mavericks take on this whole scientific approach to health, body, tendons, you know, cartilage, everything. They do blood tests on players just to catch white blood cell count or whatever. There's an article you can read
science
about. Yeah, so they take this whole approach. And if you recognize that Porzingis was having some injury issues, then your organization should try to protect your asset.
Yeah, develop a program for taking care of
Porzingis. Find out what's going on. Protect your asset. And they didn't.
Yeah. And then, you know, ultimately, Woj said they squandered it and they traded him for nothing, which I thought was funny because they got the great DSJ.
Oh, well, but Dennis Smith Jr., I mean, man.
Yeah, so
he had, like, two good games. He proved
that. And then he went back to the same with the Mavs. But, yeah, it was a lot of good stuff to hear. You know, and
sorry, before you know how many people love Dennis Smith Jr. and hate the fact that we traded him, and I'm sure a lot of them listen to this.
Yeah, it's fine.
But you're wrong. Okay, go on.
Well, I mean, so far, this is what he's done, and I don't miss that. Now, if he next year turns into 20, 22 points a night on 45, 46% shooting, then good for him, and I didn't expect that. But thus far, what he's done, I wasn't impressed, and I would rather have Porzingis and Luka.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was good stuff to hear just about his work ethic and about his attitude, because I think a lot of people kind of worried about that he sort of turned into this cynical jerk that just wanted out of New York. And it's like, well, no one even wants to sign there, much less stay there. Like the media are cynical about New York and make fun of him, but yet, for a player that's in it, like, he can't have a pet. Now, he shouldn't display it openly, but you can see, like, where it came from.
Yeah, that's my whole thing. Like, they act like this is the first time that this has ever happened with the Knicks. And first of all, Carmelo, Stoudemire didn't have a good exit there. Yeah. And it's well documented. Jim Dolan, their management staff.
He's a terrible owner.
Yeah. And no player has ever said,
I love playing
I
in
love
New York.
Playing for the they like playing in New York. They've never said, Knicks. I love playing for the Knicks.
Yeah.
It's a quality organization. You never hear that. You hear that about other teams, but you never hear that about the Knicks. So he's not the first player to have this issue. So the common denominator is the Knicks, not Porzingis. Now, yeah, there's been some other things that happened, that being jumped. I have my own personal theories on that whole situation that I won't mention. even though I think that they were hired by Jim Dolan himself to jump Porzingis, because Porzingis keeps saying, I'm going to get it out there. And so I personally think...
Oh, he's got a hit out on him.
Not just a hit, but to sabotage his character. Image, his character. So that way, you know...
Yeah, it seems like he became this cynical guy and he was in a bad situation. And so he had a bad attitude. I hope that being in a good organization that... Like, who he truly is just a nice person that wants to work hard and play well.
And now win,
Now, we'll see if maybe all those other people are right. We'll see. But, you know, based on the way that Woj and Shelburne were talking, and of course, they're, like, in it, I trust their insight.
Opinion.
Yeah, it sounds like it was just a really bad situation that kind of jaded him.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see how he performs for the Mavs.
Yeah, and I think the Mavericks have... kind of recognize the shift in the league as far as player control. Like, teams win based on the superstar players. That's not a secret. And I think owners had fought it for so long, but I think the Mavericks are starting to recognize you win when you have stars. And when you have stars, you have to take care of your stars.
So make them happy.
Yeah, I think they're willing to do anything for Porzingis and Luka to keep them here, because... what's the point of being so stubborn of, oh, well, I own the team, and then they just leave and go win somewhere else? You know, it doesn't make any sense. So I think the Mavericks may have recognized that shift and are willing to do whatever it takes to make them happy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, we'll see how everything plays out. I've still kind of had, you know, I'm not sure coming back from injury, I don't quite know what he's going to be like, but I have high hopes.
Yeah, and like I've mentioned before, I'm not really concerned about... Now, will he be hurt again in the future? That I don't know. That remains to be seen.
Yeah.
But as far as his adjustment, I don't think that's going to be a big deal, because he adjusted from EuroLeague to the NBA speed.
And the Knicks. Madison Square Garden. Yeah,
yeah. Instantly.
He was making big... He was carrying his rookie team. Yeah, pressure did not get to him on the court.
Yeah, so I don't think the speed of the game is going to affect him, the physicality of the game. I think the only thing that would affect him would be his fatigue level. But I think Carlisle doesn't play anybody more than 32 minutes in 1 second. So even... You know, if it hits 32:01, they're taken out of the game.
Out for the game.
Yeah, so I think he'll be fresh enough, and they worked on his strength over the last 2 years to protect him from both injury and from fatigue.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think it's going to be a great pairing, and I think everybody forgets how good Porzingis was.
Well, it's been been almost 2 years since he's played. So.
Yeah, a year and a half, but yeah.
Yeah, so that was a good episode. Also, go check out that one on the Woj Pod. If you're not subscribed to that one, then
they don't get as many listens as we do, but it's a good podcast.
I will say also, so you can listen to the podcast, this podcast on YouTube if you just search Dallas Hoops Fancast. And it is kind of fun to see the growth there as well. We have almost 80 subscribers, which I know is not a lot. And I mean, obviously that's the YouTube channel. Like for the podcast, we have more than that, but it is kind of fun to see that channel grow.
The great thing about YouTube is you can comment. Now, we're having a big problem right now with too many comments. So you're not able to get you may have to comment a couple of times for us to see it, because it's just going crazy. I think we got three comments a couple of videos ago.
Well, I think two of them might have been from the same guy.
Oh, the Celtics dude. Yeah.
So that's today's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, remember you can follow the show on Twitter at Dallas Hoopscast, and you can follow me on Twitter at @_SydneyMyers. And if you want to share your comments, you can listen to the episode on Twitter or on YouTube and then leave your comments there, or just tweet us your thoughts. Do you think Danny Green is coming here? Do you think he's using the Mavericks for leverage? Do you think they should go after someone else? Let us know. It's really fun interacting with you guys. I love that. So thank you so much for supporting us, for listening, and we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Can you believe Chandler Parsons has made over $130 million in his career?
Well, I've always thought he had really nice hair. I'm just saying. I don't know if it's like worth $130 million, but I do like the way he does his hair.
He is a beautiful man.
Anyways, bye. You never say bye.
$130 million.
That's a lot.
For a guy that has played a combined total of one full season.
He did?
Well, I mean, he's played more. That was sarcasm. Oh.